chapter number 37, Ezekiel chapter number 37. It's not going to be a strange passage of text. It'll be a familiar passage tonight. We're positive tonight. I'm assured that I am where I'm supposed to be in the text tonight. And I've, like I said, I prayed about this and got confirmation yesterday. I'm not one of those that just goes in the drawer and pulls out a card or an outline and says, well, I believe I'll go with that. I want to be where God would have me to be.
Amen. Amen.
I don't want to come and waste God's time.
Yeah. Come on, preacher.
I want to be obedient to Him, and I want to be a help to God's people.
Amen.
And I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight. Ezekiel chapter number 37, going to begin in verse number 1. Ezekiel chapter number 37, beginning at verse number 1. We'll read down through about verse number 11. Amen. I still hear a few pages turning. We'll give you another minute or two. But when you find your place, amen, let's just get in there and see what God's got for us, all right?
Amen.
The Bible says this, Ezekiel chapter number 37, beginning at verse number 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest.
Yeah.
Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. Ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone. Now get this, listen to me now. Look at what the Bible says. Bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he had commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. You may be seated tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God of heaven, as we come before the throne of grace this evening, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. God, we thank you tonight for the, Lord, the songs of Zion, God, that we have sang about tonight. Lord, the exaltation, Lord, lifted up to you. God, we thank you, Lord, for your presence and your power in the house tonight. And God, we depend upon you. Lord, look to you, God, the author and the finisher of our faith, God, to help us. Lord, deliver the message you've laid upon our heart tonight, God. Lord, we don't, Lord, these people have no need of hearing any word that I have, God, but Lord, they have every need, God, of hearing the fresh wind from heaven, God. Lord, the power and the authority of the inspired word of God tonight, Lord, help us, oh God. Touch my thought, my mind, my voice, my throat, God. Lord, the hearts of your people that be receptive to the word, and God, you'd challenge us, convict us, correct us, comfort us. God, call us, Lord, to do the work that needs to be done. God, we'll praise you, give you glory for everything, God, that you do. It's in the sweet name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray and believe tonight. Amen and amen.
Amen.
This has got to be one of the most difficult or the most unusual and unique books of the Bible. When you begin to read the book of Ezekiel, you'll find a lot of strange things there. Its author certainly fits into the strange category. So, preacher, why would you say that? Well, when you read the book and you begin to take it and you begin to look at the object lessons that he uses here, I want you to notice this now. The writing of this book takes place during the Babylonian captivity. The nation of Israel, King Nebuchadnezzar's army had overcome the nation of God's people and come into Jerusalem and carried them away. And now this scenario has played out over and over throughout many of our homes today. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? The enemy has come in and taken captive the children of God and carried them away. Hey, listen, families are being torn apart and parents and children are divided over things that, hey, listen, the enemy is on the loose and he's doing everything that he can. But I begin thinking about this when a rebellious and disobedient child continually goes against their better judgment and chooses to go against their parents' teaching, some stiff consequences must come. Throughout the Old Testament, the Israelites were often referred to as being stiff-necked and rebellious.
Amen.
I'm talking about God's people. I'm talking about God's people. That's who they were referred to. The ministry of Ezekiel lasts approximately 22 years. His message is constantly and consistently one of repentance and restoration. That's what God wants to do. But God can't restore until repentance is brought forth.
Amen.
God can, hey, listen, God can do anything. You say, preacher, you saying God can't, I'm saying God won't.
Yeah.
God can, but God won't until the person is ready to repent.
Amen.
And God will restore.
Amen.
Ezekiel uses some dramatic object lessons to convey his sermons. For 390 days, he is told to lay on the to represent the years of Israel's punishment for their sins. And at the conclusion of those days, the Lord instructs him to flip over to the right side for another 40 days to represent the 40 years that Judah would be in captivity. Now, during this entire time, he's only allowed to eat 1 8-ounce meal per day. So, preacher, I don't understand all that. I don't understand a lot of things God does. Matter of fact, there's nothing God does that makes sense to me.
Come on.
Why God would send his darling son to die on the cross, that don't make sense to me.
Amen.
Why God would take an old, dirty, low-down, no good for nothing, old teenage rebellious boy and do something in his life like he has for me, that don't make sense to me. But listen, the Bible goes on to teach us some things about Ezekiel here, and I'm giving you the foundation tonight to get to where I need to go in this message, okay? So just stay with me a minute. Ezekiel here, he's only allowed to eat this 1 8-ounce meal per day, and I mean, listen, it's not a full course meal. We know that. I mean, man, we eat 8 ounces for a snack, amen? I'm just getting started on 8 ounces. But here's what I want you to see. That brings us, listen, matter of fact, during this time, he's also instructed to shave his head and his beard. And for an Israelite, that's a shame to them. Man, if you remember in the story of David, when he sent some of his men over there to try to pay honor to the king that had died, they said, oh, no, he sent them to spy out. And they shaved them. And, man, they went back humiliated. David said, you just wait out there in the field until it grows back, because I don't want you to be humiliated. Ezekiel was told to do that because of the shame and the sin of the house of God. During all this time, his wife dies, and God said, I don't want you to even mourn your dying of your wife. That's tough.
Come on. Come on.
That's tough, but that gets us to the scripture tonight where we are. Chapter 37, the vision of the dry bones represents the future restoration. Notice I said the future restoration of the nation of Israel. That's what chapter 37 is talking about, that future restoration, both as a national entity, because they, listen, not only the national entity, but the spiritual resurrection of that nation. We're living in a time very much similar to this one that they're experiencing, that they were going through here. You say, preacher, we're not held captives in a foreign land. No, but the land in which we live, God has become foreign.
Amen. Amen.
God has become foreign. Oh, listen. The children of Israel had been here so long, they had begun to wonder if they would ever be a nation again. They had been in captivity. Now notice, most of these that are alive, all they've ever known is a life of captivity. They don't know anything about the glory days of David. They don't know anything about the glory times in the temple when the presence of God would sit down. They've never experienced any of that, and they're beginning to wonder if they'll ever be a nation again. But church, can I tell you, here we are some 2,500 years later, sitting in a building called the church, but are we the church? Here we sit 2,500 years after this, we sit in a building called the church, but are we the church? Now, listen, the Bible teaches us, and we know, I don't know a whole lot of Greek and Hebrew. I don't know that. I just study a little bit. But I do know this. The Greek word for church is ecclesia, meaning called out. It's not a building that's been called out. A building's just a building. It's the people of God that make up that local church that have been called out of a lost and dying and a captive world that want to live and please and honor God.
Amen.
Oh, but listen, you say, preacher, we're not living captive. Oh, listen, I believe you can look around here tonight and you can see those brothers and sisters that have been carried away captive.
Amen.
Been carried away captive. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, if we're not careful, we let things get in the way. Listen, not only as we look around, we see brothers and sisters, but we know of churches that have become, they just become complacent and they've compromised and they've been carried away captive. So, oh, preacher, church has been carried away captive. I'll get there in a minute, all right? I'll get there in a minute. My question to you tonight is this. Will it survive? That's the question God asked Ezekiel. Will they live? I'm asking you tonight, will the church survive? I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the church. You say, wait a minute, preacher. I know, listen, I understand tonight, I know there'll be a church. There'll be a church of the living God when he sends his son to call the church home. There's got to be something for him to come back after. I know that. But I want to make it personal tonight. I want to ask you, will Liberty Free Will Baptist Church survive?
Come on. Come on.
What are you talking about, preacher? Well, first, I want you to notice tonight, let me just point this out by way of introduction. I'll get out of the introduction in a minute, but let me just point this out real quick. Under King David, I'm talking about the past of the nation of Israel. The past was a glorious past. The past, man, listen, under King David, they prospered. There was never another nation on the planet like Israel because they obeyed God. I'm talking about a past where everything was right, where God, his hand of favor and blessings was coming constantly upon his children because they were obedient, because they were seeking, because they were serving. And church, I know, listen, I don't know anything about this church. I told you first time I've been, I know you got a good pastor here, but here's what I want to ask you tonight, and here's what I want to point out. I know there's been some glory days of Liberty Free Will Baptist Church. I know there's been some times when the Holy Ghost of heaven sit down in the place, hey, and sinners got saved, and families got reconciled. Oh, listen, and relationships were restored back together again. I'm talking about the glorious past of Liberty Free Will Baptist Church. Oh, listen tonight. Listen, man, Israel had a past. It was a glorious past. But you know what? Just like it had a glorious past, it had a godless past. Israel turned their back on God. That's why they're in the mess they're in. That's why Ezekiel 37 is written. That's why the entire book of Ezekiel is written. Because they had turned their back on God, because they had chosen idol gods, and now they find themselves in a mess. Hey, listen, I don't know anything about the past of this church, but I'd be willing to say there's been some battles fought. There's been some casualties of friendly fire. Oh, listen, there's been some didn't get their way, and they got mad and upset, tried to destroy the work of God. Hey, listen, that's in every church's past.
Amen. Amen.
Preacher, am I going to offend anybody if I take my coat off? Feel like doing a little preaching tonight. Listen, I'm talking about the past. I'm talking about the past. Oh, listen, however, tonight here we are. However, by the grace of God, here we are tonight. Hey, here we are still. Hey, still able to get under the glory spout of heaven, feel the presence of God every now and again. Here we sit, even though we've got a past. But my question is, will it survive? Number one tonight, let's get into this. Let's notice the position. Look at verse 2 tonight. We'll go through the text as quick as the Lord let us. But I want you to notice this. The Bible said, and caused me to pass by them. Oh, listen, round about, and behold, they were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very dry. I want you to notice the position of these bones. The position of these bones, these dry bones, is important for us to be able to understand the text. Here's the picture I got, preacher, when I read this, and I believe I'm right. If I'm not, just let me think I am anyway, okay? As I read this, the Bible said it was a big open valley. It wasn't no little small valley. I don't know about you, but it seems like the valleys I go through, man, they seem like forever. Anybody else ever go through them? Amen. But what I'm telling you tonight is this. Ezekiel said, he caused me. He picked me up from that comfortable place where I was and brought me over here and set me down in the valley. And now, man, when I got there, I saw these bones laying all over the place. Listen, the position of these bones, they're not piled up, they're not stacked up together, but they're scattered all over the place. I'm asking you tonight, will it survive? And it being Liberty Free Will Baptist Church. See, when I read this, here's what I saw, man, it just broke my heart. Because we're talking about the restoration of the children of God. We're talking about the church of God. And when I read this, I saw this dry, dead bones laying all over that valley. They weren't neatly stacked up. They weren't in little skeletons all piled on top of each other. They was all over the place. I said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm telling you tonight, there's more churches than I care to count that you can't find half the members half the time. They're scattered out from here to yonder. Oh, listen. Well, preacher, I'd be better off. I can do it just as good at home. No, you can't. You can't even read your Bible by yourself.
Amen.
Say, yeah, I do read my Bible. If you read your Bible, guess what he'd tell you? Take your hind end to church.
Amen.
Amen. That's what he'd tell you. Hey, listen, I'm talking about the position. They're not piled up. They're scattered everywhere. No longer connected to each other.
Come on.
You start getting disconnected from the family of God, you know what happens? You start getting connected to the world.
Amen.
Oh, no, I'm a loner. You wish you were, because he won't leave you alone.
Come on.
Listen to me now. Listen, I didn't come to make you mad. I come to preach you the truth. Hey, listen, no longer connected by the sinews, so they have not. Oh, they've lost their connection. You know what them sinews do? They allow the blood to flow through your body. Hey, when you get disconnected, there's no blood flowing through you.
Come on.
We wonder, I'm about to get ahead of myself. We wonder why there's no power in the churches. No power in the people.
Amen.
Listen, I'm talking about the position. The position tonight. They thought they could survive as an individual outside the church. When one decides they're better off on their own for whatever reason, they're destined for defeat and death.
Amen.
Destined for it. Destined for it. You want me to tell you why they scattered? Because they have not completely yielded and surrendered to the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, can I remind you what the Bible said? All throughout the Old Testament, the children of Israel are referred to as sheep without a shepherd.
Yeah.
You know why? Because they're scattered. That's the position. I want to ask you tonight, will it survive? Will Liberty Free Will Baptist Church survive in the position it's in? With people scattered and bones, I'm talking about dry, dead bones.
Come on.
Number two tonight, I'll get off that and y'all didn't like that much. That's okay. Number two, let's talk about the prognosis. Preacher, what is that? Well, the prognosis is a forecast of the likely cause of a disease or ailment. This tells us how they got where they were. Look here at the last part of verse number two. and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were dry. Anybody ever been to a dry church service? Don't lie. Don't lie. I'm going to be honest with you. There's not much worse than a dry church service.
Amen.
Amen. There's not much worse than it. I'm just being honest tonight. I don't. Hey, listen, if it's dead, it ought to be buried. Amen. I don't be around nothing dead. But that's the prognosis. They were very dry. I know a lot of dried up old dead Christians. It was said that hundreds of thousands flocked to Asbury, Kentucky back at the beginning of this year. Y'all remember what I'm talking about? It said hundreds of thousands of people flocked to that revival. So, preacher, that's a good thing. You don't have to go anywhere to get revival. You don't have to drive across the country to get revival. Hey, you don't have to drive across town to get revival. Revival starts right here on the inside. I'm talking about the prognosis. They wouldn't listen to the word of God. They wouldn't heed to the word of God. They wouldn't adhere to the word of God. They wouldn't yield to the word of God. That's why they were in the mess they were in. Dried up and dead. That's the prognosis. God will come to right where you are when you desire him with your whole heart.
Amen.
He'll come right down, sit down on your lap.
Amen.
When you desire him. When you get there, but listen, too many of today's modern Bible-believing churches have reached a place where they believe that God needs to be entertained.
Come on.
God don't need to be entertained.
Amen.
No, God needs to be entreated. What do you mean? Welcomed in. Just welcome him in. That's the problem. No, we become so focused on making sure that people are included and entertained that we have excluded the Holy One.
Amen.
I'm asking church, will it survive tonight? And when we notice the position of the church and the prognosis of the church, if the church were to go to the spiritual doctor, what kind of report would you get? Now, I'm just going to be honest with you tonight. If we're not careful, we sit in our churches and we see everything that's right. We think, man, we're doing a good job. Because we don't want to see the things we're not doing.
Come on.
We don't want to see the things that we're not doing the way God tells us to. Tom Rainer writes a book. It's called The Autopsy of the Dead Church. You ought to read it. It'll talk about you know what autopsy is, right? Somebody dies, they send a medical examiner, they examine them, cut them apart, they examine them, find out the cause of death. And that book's what it does. It talks about the death of the church and what caused it, what happened to it. Oh, listen, that's a prognosis. Church, if we don't take a self-inventory, look in the mirror every now and again, we don't know what kind of condition the church is in. You say, oh, preacher, we're doing good. We're doing this, we're doing that. Hey, listen, there's always room to grow in the knowledge and wisdom and grace of God tonight. I'm asking you, will it survive? When we notice the prognosis, oh, listen, the prognosis for them, they were dead. They were dry. A lot of churches and Christians fit that description.
Come on.
A lot of them. There are more churches than I care to count tonight. The prognosis is fatal. There's probably some right here in Lancaster.
Amen.
That if things don't change, within a few years, they'll close up the doors and they'll have to sell it. Or the bank will foreclose. I don't know if you realize it or not, even in our denomination, Free Will Baptist Church, we lose about, I think it was about 25 churches a year close their doors.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about these off-the-wall people. I'm talking about Free Will Baptists.
Amen.
Why? Because prognosis, it's not good. It's not good. Listen, hey, if something doesn't change, before long they'll close the doors and cease to exist. There's some that are concerned about the condition of the church, but they're not concerned enough to become worried about it. Can I ask you tonight, listen, when we begin to think about the condition of the church, I'm talking about the whole church now. I'm talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we concerned enough to be committed to changing the prognosis?
Come on. Amen.
We got a young boy at our church. He's about 15 or 16 years old, big old boy. I'm talking about big old boy. The doctor called last week, said, we need you to get him to the hospital right now. We want you to bring him right now. He's been having some issues with his sugar and didn't know he's diabetic. His primary care doctor didn't know it. They missed it in the test, didn't see anything. Somehow this doctor they'd never even seen got his report, and he called them, said, Amy, I want you to get that boy to the doctor. I need you to bring him over here right now. Pack a bag because you might be here a few days. So what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the prognosis. They said his levels are so high. His A1C, I'm talking about a 15-year-old boy. His A1C was 13. His blood sugar was over 400. They said, we need him here right now so we can treat him. If we don't treat him, he could die at any moment. That's where many churches are.
Come on.
And you see, here's the thing about Cameron. I can tell him Cameron because y'all don't know who he is. Here's the thing about Cameron. He's a big old boy. He loves to eat. He loves to eat sweets. And you see, if he don't change.
Yeah.
See, if you get the prognosis, if you don't change, you know the outcome.
Amen.
Church, I'm telling you tonight, if many churches and Christians don't, hey, we've got the prognosis. If we don't do something about it, if we're not concerned enough to get worried about it, get on our face before God about it, hey, and get in touch with him and beg God to do something.
Yeah. Amen.
Will it survive? Will it survive? Number three tonight, let me hurry here. Verse number four, the first part of verse number four, here's what it said. Again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones. You know what it's going to depend on if this church survives? What one of the key factors is? This man right here, the preacher. So, oh, you putting him on a pedestal? No, I'm telling you the word of God. Listen. I want you to get a mental picture of this. Can you visualize this with me? Now, here Ezekiel is. He's laying over here minding his business. All of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes, picks him up, brings him over here in this valley and sets him down in the valley of dry bones. And then he says, son, you reckon them bones will ever live again? He said, well, Lord, you know if they will or not. I don't know. You know. He said, well, prophesy. God,
come on.
Now I've been preaching to the nation of Israel this whole time we've been in captivity. They're not listening. So you bring me to the cemetery?
Come on.
Some of y'all starting to see it now. Some of y'all starting to see the ridiculousness of this. God said, I want you to preach to these dead people. Preach to them. Okay, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do. But when I read that, I thought to myself, man alive, how many times does it feel like, preacher? I'm not saying bad things, but I'm just saying when we get up here and preach our hearts out and we're preaching the Word of God, and man, it seems like it just goes shoop.
Amen. Come on. Preach on.
But I'm talking about now the preacher, he has a vital part in this. Here is the preacher of God tells him, I want you to go down to the cemetery and preach. God, are you kidding me? Brother Tim, I've been in some churches and preached. I believe I'd have got more response out of a cemetery.
Amen. Amen.
I'm glad it's not one of them. What good will that do? But here's my thing now. Will the preacher be willing to listen to the voice of God? Will the preacher be concerned enough about the spiritual condition of the church to get on his face and seek God for the direction of the church? See, man, I'm telling you, we just celebrated 20 years at Springwood, and I'm not bragging, I'm just letting you know tonight, I had no idea what I was doing. When they voted me, and I told them that, I said, I don't have any idea what I'm doing, but I'll do the best I can. I said, I'll trust God and I'll seek God.
Come on.
And still, I'm telling you, there's times I don't know if I'm coming or going. I know I'm going up yonder one day. I do know that.
Amen.
But there's times that, listen, I'm so just bound up in my mind with everything that's going on and just general life. And then you take the responsibility of the church and you're praying for the families of the church and you're saying, God, I'm doing my best, but it just seems like they're not even hearing what I'm saying.
Come on, preacher.
But guess what? Man, every now and again, boy, somebody will get a hold of it. Hey, listen, every now and again, man, God will just get a hold of some people. And I'm going to tell you, man, over the last 2 months, we've seen about 4 people saved. And, man, I've been walking around on clouds. And you say, preacher, why? Because, hey, listen, it's a reminder that God is still working and he's still on the throne of glory. But the dependence of the, hey, I'm telling you, if the church will survive, depends a lot on the man you've got in charge.
Listen,
and I already told you, you've got a good one. But here's what I tell our people all the time. I don't have any plans of leaving. If it's up to me, I'll die pastor at Springwood Free Baptist Church. If it's up to me, I don't want to leave. I can't imagine going anywhere else. But I tell them, listen, there's going to come a day if God don't come get us, somebody else is going to have to lead you.
Amen.
Somebody else is going to have to take the reins. And the leadership of the church, see, it'll fall on them then. See, a lot of times, I done made some of you mad. I might as well anyway. See, a lot of times they look to the pastor to do all the leading. All the leading.
Come on.
Shouldering that load. Oh, that's the preacher's job. That's the preacher's job. I'm talking about, I've got 6 men on my deacon advisory board. And I meet with them every month, and man, I challenge them. I say, look, I'm not the only one God in this boat. Now, I'm the under-shepherd. I do understand that, and I have the final say-so. We have democracy and are voting, and the majority wins, and whatever it is. You say, preacher, have you ever lost? Yep, sure have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you get mad? No. Did you get upset? Nope. It just took us about 3 more years to get what God gave us 3 years ago. Because some of them didn't see it. I didn't get mad about it. But you see, what I'm talking about is somebody that cares enough, that's willing to be sensitive to the Spirit of God, that'll guide the people of God. Hey, listen, then the people got to follow the man of God. Let me just hurry through this. Here, let me show this. Will he seek God's guidance and vision for the church? Will he make it a point to get to know the sheep and their struggles? I believe this man does that. I believe he does. You know why? Because it's a healthy church. From what I see, I don't know of anything, like I said, but here's what I do see, that there's the presence of God here.
Amen. Praise God.
I see that.
Praise God.
But you see, there's a lot of churches can't say that. You know why? Because they don't have somebody leading them that's sensitive to the Spirit of God and takes the time to get to know the struggles of their sheep so he can help them. I'm talking about the church and the condition of the church. Will it survive tonight? Number 4. Last part of verse number 4 says this. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. That's what God told him to say. It wasn't some profound message. It wasn't some new enlightenment.
Yeah, come on. Come on.
Just a simple message. Hear the word of the Lord.
Amen.
Hear the word of the Lord. That's all he said. That's all he was told to say. But here, you know what we have to look at if we're gonna, when we're gonna determine if the church will survive? The people. The people. That's who we're talking about. This valley of dry bones, all of these dead Israelites that God is about to bring back to life. Hey, listen, it's gonna depend on the people hearing the word of God. Hearing the word. Since the very beginning, God hasn't been the one that didn't uphold his end of the bargain. It's been God's people. Oh, listen, God said, if you'll follow me and trust me, I'll provide for you. I'll make a way for you. Oh, listen, even after they got over there in Egypt and spent 400 years in the bondage, God said, I'm going to get you out of here if you'll just listen.
Amen.
Moses on the backside of the desert, tending to his father-in-law's flock. Men, there can't be a more demeaning position than that. Amen.
Come on.
Working for your father-in-law, you got to be joking. God said, Moses, yeah, Lord. I heard my people over there. I want you to go get them. Bring them out of there. Hear the word of the Lord. Hey, Moses said, God, they won't believe me. What'd I tell them? You tell them I sent you. Who'd I tell them sent me? The I am. Got over there. Hey, listen. Moses got back. Guess what, Brother Tim? They listened to the word of the Lord. They said, okay, Moses, you're supposed to lead us out. Let's go. God said, I'll do it. If you'll listen, God hadn't been the one who hasn't upheld his end of the bargain, church. Hey, even after we failed him and made a mess out of this thing, God still keeps on keeping on taking care of us. Still meeting the needs of his people. And I thought about that. Man, the people, he just said, simply hear the word of the Lord. Even throughout most of the Old Testament, it wasn't even the priest. I said most. I know there were some bad ones in there. But most of the time, it wasn't even them. It was the people who wanted to start sleeping around on God. Now listen, I'm a retired school teacher, so I'm pretty good at this hearing and listening part, okay? Hear is defined this way. Perceive with the ear the sound made by someone or something. Oh, I think I heard something. That's hearing. Listen, give one's attention to a sound. Oh, I think I heard a car go by. You see the difference in that? He said, hear the word of the Lord. Hey, we got to give attention to the word of God. Oh, listen, when the man of God gets up and breaks out that precious book and begins to read the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, oh, listen, he doesn't get up here just to browbeat you. Oh, listen, the Bible said he's the watchman over your soul. Oh, listen, boy, I'm about to preach right here. Hey, listen, Hebrews chapter 13, I believe, says, let him do it with joy. Amen. He can't do that if you ain't doing what you're supposed to. Will it survive tonight? Will it survive? The people. The reason these dry and dead bones were here in the first place is because they would not attend to, they wouldn't apply, they wouldn't adhere, they wouldn't admit to the word of God. Amen. That's what, Amen. You know why church is in the shape they're in? They won't adhere to. That means stick to. They won't stick to the book. They won't admit to it. They won't say that God's word is right. That's why they're in the shape they're in. That's why they died in the valley over there. Oh, listen. I got half of you. I'm about to get the other half now. Hey, listen, simple, just a simple statement God gave me. It's not a lack of programs in the church. Listen to me, it's not a lack of programs in the church that's failing. It's the lack of participants.
Amen. Amen, preacher. Amen.
It's not a lack of programs. We can have the best youth program. We can have the best curriculum. But if we ain't got nobody to work it, not a lack of programs, it's a lack of participants. Hey, but listen, let's go. I got two more and we'll be done, okay? Verse number 5, notice what the Bible says. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and ye shall live.
Come on.
You know what will determine if this church survives or not? The plan. The plan. God's got a plan for this church. Guess what? The devil does too. The devil's got a plan too. And if the devil had his way, man, he'd get between the preacher and the deacons. He'd get between some of the women in the women's class. He'd get between some of the young adults. He'd get between some of these kids and just cause friction and heartache and headache and destroy everything God's done here. And matter of fact, and by the way, he can do that in just a moment.
Amen. Amen.
Hey. You better be careful. So I'm talking about the plan. This was God's plan. God is saying, I'm going to breathe breath on you, and you're going to get up from there, and you're going to live. That's God's plan. Oh, thanks be unto God. When he came through there in Acts chapter number 2 and breathed on the New Testament church, and life came into them, and God birthed up a church, and it's still going today. Bless God, we ought to be shouting the house down tonight. The plan, that's the plan. To go to the ends of the world and tell them about a man called Jesus. That's the plan that God has for the church. Oh, listen tonight. This was God's plan for them bones. Now surely to God, if he had a plan for a bunch of dead bones, who knows how long they've been laying there. If he's got a plan for them, surely he's got a plan for liberty. Surely he's got a plan for a little old remnant over in Lancaster that wants to gather on Sunday night, hey, and get together again on Wednesday night, hey, and if it takes getting together on Monday night and praying and seeking God and asking God to move again, oh, listen, I believe that's God's plan tonight. He can still do it. He's got a plan tonight. He's got a plan. Oh, listen. The nation of Israel wondered if they'd ever make it. They wondered if they'd ever have the freedom to gather and worship in the temple again. They wondered if they would survive. God knew and wanted them to have hope. It had been many generations since they had gathered in the temple and worshiped in the presence of God. Do you hear what I said? It had been many generations, and I don't believe there's anybody left living at this time that had gathered in the temple and worshiped in the presence of God.
Amen.
And I'm afraid there's many in the church that it's been far too long since you've gathered in the house of God and worshiped him. That's God's plan.
Amen.
That's God's plan tonight. Lastly, and I'm going to close, number 6. Notice this. Verse 9 and 10, the Bible says this. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man. Say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding mighty army. Oh, listen, that's the plan of God. And now we see the power of God. When God breathes upon you, they stood up in the valley, an exceeding mighty army of God, ready to march and do the work of God. Oh, listen, the Bible said in Joel, I believe chapter number 2, and it's repeated in Acts chapter number 2, the Bible said, boy, in the last days, I'm going to pour my spirit out and on your sons and your daughters, and they'll prophesy. Oh, the young men will see visions, and the old men will dream dreams. God's not done yet, church. I said, God's not done yet, church. He's still working. I'm asking you, will the church survive?
Amen.
Will it survive tonight? Ezekiel did exactly what God had told him to do. And when he did, God gave him power. Power to rise up. Those that for far too long had just lain around lifeless. Oh, preacher, I would unto God that those that's lain around lifeless far too long just get under the power of God. Just get under the power of God. Listen, they were filled and become powerful people. They went from powerless to powerful.
Amen.
Let me ask you tonight, are you concerned about the condition of your church? I'm closing my Bible that way, you know I'm closing. My wife knows better. Are you concerned enough tonight about the condition of the church to become committed? To become committed.
Come on.
Listen, I asked our church this several months ago. I said, if you believe the best days of Springwood Free Will Baptist Church are done and gone, then I don't want you to be a part of our church. Preacher, you said that? I sure did.
Yes.
I said, if you believe that our best days are in the past, I don't want you. I want you as a part of our church.
Amen.
If you don't believe God can move like he used to, then you don't have the faith that you need.
Amen.
So I'm asking you tonight, church, listen, whoever's going to do the song of invitation, you come on for me tonight. Or play something soft, whatever you want to do. Sis, it don't matter to me. Listen, tonight I'm going to ask you this, and I'm going to close, okay? Are you concerned enough about the condition of the church to commit to be in the church God wants you to be? Are you concerned enough tonight about the condition of the church? Hey, listen, I want you to look around tonight. You know what the determining factor is if this church will survive in 10 years, in 20 years, in 30 years is? You people right here. It's going to depend on you. So are you concerned enough tonight about the condition of the church that you'll commit to being who God wants you to be? As we stand tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed.